Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got Rich Galen back on the show. Richard is the guy who produces and distributes the outstanding cyber publication, Mullings.com. He is a political operative of the Republican persuasion. And he is a former member of Newt Gingrich's team back in the day, many years ago. He's currently writing on about all things politic, and he's also a great member of our Brain Trust. Rich Galen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be with you.
When were you with Newt? Back in the early 90s?
I did two tours with Newt. One, when I was his press secretary when he was Republican whip,
yeah.
And that's the number two slot in the minority.
That goes back to the 80s then, doesn't it?
That would be 88, 89, that area, exactly. And then after the 94 election, although I was out of politics, I was running the Middle East for what was then called EDF, I came back in January of 96, and I was the communications director for the political shop.
Right, yeah. So that's, you know, I've been hearing him lately. He's really been articulating some very important thoughts on where the political landscape is today in America.
There are a lot of things to love about Newt and a lot of things to say, what in the world was he thinking? But the reality is that without question, he is the best political, I'm not sure he's the best social thinker, but he certainly is the best political thinker of our generation. I mean, he's just extraordinary.
Yeah.
He's got a new book that's it's in pre-order now, and I think it's coming out this weekend, maybe. But I got a copy of the first. I read the first chapter, which I think is available on his website, and I just read through it pretty quickly. And then, sure enough, about a day later, somebody asked me something. I said, "Well, no, there are these five things that I think we have to kind of." And I said, "I didn't make that up. Where did I just read it?" I said, "Oh yeah, Newt's book." So I was stealing from. I'm stealing from him before the book even comes out.
Exactly. Hey, Rich, we had a big day yesterday in America. There were a number of primary battles, as I told my audience, Democrats against Democrat, Republican against Republican, and Mugwump against Mugwump. And we also had one special election. And I'd like for you to tell us what you think the results of all that means from a political landscape standpoint.
It was like the opening song of A Funny Thing Happened on the way to the forum.
Yeah.
Something appealing, something appalling, something for everyone. And that's what happens in these kinds of things where everybody thinks they've got it all mapped out. You just know there's going to be at least one surprise, and either it's a happy or a not happy surprise. And in this case, it was that special election in Pennsylvania 12.
Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah. That's the seat that was left for vacant by the death of Jack Murtha, who held it for 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was a Republican businessman, 84 Lumber, big, huge lumber company. Against Murtha's chief of staff, who went back to run. Chiefs of staff in congressional races are usually pretty well known in the district because they go back to represent the boss a lot. But anyway, it was sort of an article of faith that this was going to be, a notch in the Republican belt.
Because the
Democrat was the stand-in for the incumbent, Jack Murtha, and the other guy had never been in Washington, and he was a businessman.
But remind us what happened in the presidential election.
Well, the presidential election in that district, you mean?
Yeah.
It went
for McCain.
Yeah, it did go for McCain, because it's a kind of a classic blue collar Pennsylvania district.
They cling to their weapons and God over there, don't they?
That's right. They cling to it. They cling to it with some sense of urgency.
Yeah.
But we'll have to look at some of the data. But my guess is what happened is that there was a statewide primary for governor on the Democratic side, and also, of course, that white hot statewide primary for U.S. senator. And my sense is that base Democrats, as opposed to the lunchbox Democrats, mm-hmm. the old Reagan Democrats, mm-hmm. you know, that base Democrats came out in much higher numbers to vote because of those other two primaries, and that skewed the results.
The Pennsylvania turnout was abysmal, wasn't it?
Statewide, it was, but the hugest pocket comes out of the whatever it is, 8 or 10 counties in and around Pennsylvania.
Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. The weather was crummy, and it's a very large black population that doesn't tend to get out to vote in off-year elections.
Eighty-year-old Arlen Specter is going to get to go home, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, and as I wrote the other day, he changed parties because he didn't want to lose the primary, the Republican primary. So he changed parties and lost the Democratic primary.
He hastened his trip home, didn't he?
I don't know if he would have won anyway, but I think there are very few tears being shed on Capitol Hill on either side of the aisle this morning.
Yeah, yeah. He's kind of a man without a country, isn't he now?
Yeah, you know, it's sometimes people switch parties, and you know, everybody goes, "Well, all right, that's really where he belonged anyway." But after, and it happens in the House much mm-hmm. more frequently than the Senate. But when Specter did that, and he did it, it was such a naked, to use a phrase of art, a naked short.
Right.
He did it and said he did it because he didn't think he could win the Republican primary, and he thought he could win in the Democratic primary.
Right. At least he was honest.
Thing to do.
At least he was honest about
it.
Yeah,
well, that'll teach him.
Exactly. Yeah. So much for the virtue of honesty, right?
So you can't even say honest politician without your coffee coming out of your nose.
So we got Pennsylvania was an interesting development there. But the thing is you look at that, you look at what happened in Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
and other places. I mean, this is not something that neither Republicans nor Democrats can take away any kind of high fives on this.
No,
yesterday.
I described it at dinner to my wife last night as a snow globe. You know, you pick it up and you shake it, and you don't know where all those flakes are going to land. And that's what I think we've got, which, as far as I'm concerned,
that's fine. Right, that's when she said, eat your dinner, Rich.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks a lot. Thank you for stopping by. Now pay the bill, and I'll meet you at home.
there's, as you say, I mean, if you're looking for any kind of a clear-cut thing, can even the Tea Partiers, I mean, I know they're high-fiving all over the place. When we come back, I want to get you to tell us, what do you think, even they had any kind of a clear mandate yesterday? Or is it just, does it seem to be that if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., you can't run for office these days? 20 after, right back with Rich Galen. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Welcome back. The late, great Marvin Gaye bringing us back, ladies and gentlemen. 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm glad you're here. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out. When you get a chance, if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Rich Galen is our guest. That's Mullings.com, right, Rich?
Yeah, Mullings.com and at Rich Galen on Twitter.
Yeah, all right. There you go. You know, Rich, in your column, your recent column, you wrote, I read it a little bit of it today, and I agree with what you said about the candidate for Senate in Connecticut.
Yeah, Richard Blumenthal.
Blumenthal on the what did you call it, the worst kind of lie?
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%.
I got to tell you this, and I wouldn't say this just out of hand, but I really did have your son in my mind as I was writing this.
I appreciate you saying that. I really do. And tell the audience what he did.
Well, here's what he did. He's the Attorney General of Connecticut. He's running for the Senate seat, which will be vacated by the retirement of Chris Dodd.
The forced retirement.
The forced retirement. Yeah, he would have. It's one of those things where if he had run, the Republicans would have picked up that.
It's
seat
called being run out of town and getting out in front of it, ahead of it, and acting like you're leading a parade.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly, and everybody else has to run on the you know what.
Right.
But the but anyway, so this guy, so it was going to be a close race, and then this guy Blumenthal got into it, very popular Attorney General, and it went from a toss-up into a safe Republican seat again. So it kind of came off everybody's draft board, so to speak, that that was going to be an interesting race to watch. Well, the New York Times, I'm not sure how they got onto this, but the New York Times went back and looked at all of his speeches, utterances, things written about him, and he clearly intimated and in some cases actually said that he had served in Vietnam.
Right. I saw a video where he said, when I was serving in Vietnam.
Yeah. And then he would say things like, when we came home, how different it was back then.
That wasn't a misspeaking. That was lying.
No, that's what I said.
He called it
having misspoke. I called it having lied. But
yeah.
But there's just a slew of these things. And it's one of those things, Jim, that happens in politics now and again. One of the reasons that lies on somebody's resume or their biography are taken so seriously is because you absolutely control what's in there. You get to approve every comma and semicolon.
Right.
And when something like that gets in there, and then sooner or later it just becomes an article of faith.
Well, see, if he had said, when I was serving during the Vietnam War, which he did, as I did, And as you did, and if he'd said that, and somebody misconstrued him saying, thinking he was in Vietnam, that would not be his fault.
That's not
what he said, folks. He said, "When I served in Vietnam," that's a lie, and in my opinion, that should disqualify him.
Oh, I agree, but the Republican Senatorial Committee started a slew of things demanding that he get out of the race, and I sent an email to the executive director of the committee. I said, "Wait a minute, we want this guy in this race. We don't want. Let him stay there."
Yeah, exactly. Rich. One of the things as we wrap up here, I was, as you know, in D.C. this weekend. You and I had a great meal together on the weekend, and I was with the U.S. Chamber folks on Monday for celebrating the Small Business Summit there, and I saw hundreds of people there who were prepared to take back their government. Pardon me for borrowing a line from the Tea Partiers, but the Tea Party in one of the panels, that it wasn't my panel, but it was one before, somebody said the term Tea Party, and a couple hundred people in the audience just went nuts.
These aren't
Tea Partiers necessarily. I mean, they weren't all, but I mean, the idea there's a as Napoleon would have said, there's a bit of colored ribbon being waved out there that people are willing to follow.
I hadn't heard that quote. It's a great one, but the other one is the guy from Broadcast News, whatever, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore.
Yep.
And the thing about the Tea Party is it's not a party, it's a movement.
That's what a lot of people don't understand.
And like any other insurgency, you can't oppose it like you would oppose another army of your size. So it's not a Republican versus Democrat thing. It is, as you properly point out, if you in your eighth grade class trip you came to Washington D.C., you better erase that from your biography.
I could not run now because I was in Washington just now for 5 days.
That's right. And now you are tainted with
it. Exactly. But do you think that's going to be so? If that's true, all this stuff about it's the year of the Republican. That's those bets are off, aren't they?
Well, it's the year of the Republican in that if you throw everybody out of Washington and the Democrats control the House and the Senate, then the percentages are in the Republicans' favor. So, and the other thing, Jim, is that we highlight these things like Kentucky last night Tuesday night, but there are 435 House races and 33 Senate races. So there's a lot of other races that in which the Tea Partiers will not be a major factor.
Major factor, but they were in Kentucky.
So we'll see what comes out the other end.
They were in Kentucky with Rand Paul beating an entrenched Republican.
Who had the backing of the Senate majority leader.
Exactly. That was a slap at the Republicans.
Good thing to get endorsed by, Arlen Specter had been endorsed by Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. So beware of the endorsements from Washington.
Blanche Lincoln in Kentucky, as we wrap up quickly, Blanche Lincoln in Arkansas, is she going to win her runoff?
She'll win the runoff, but will not win the election in the fall.
Very interesting. Folks, if you love politics, stay tuned. This is going to be the year of politics, I think, Rich, is what it is. Hey, Rich, Mullings.com, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thrice weekly, folks. Check it out. It's very important. If you're a Republican, you're going to like what he says. If you're a Democrat, you're going to want to know what he's up to, and it's fun, too. Thanks, Rich. See you next time. Quick break. Stay with me 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
In Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.